This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1725. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded May 12th, Antarctica, Australia, Bolivia, Brazil, Bulgaria, China, Cuba, Greece, Guam, Japan, Korea, North and South, Mexico, New Zealand, North America, Peru, Solomon Islands, Ukraine, UK, USA, Uruguay, Vanuatu, Venezuela, Vietnam, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. On the first day of winter every year, there's a tradition of a special BBC broadcast of family greetings to members of the British Antarctic Survey, a few dozen people way down under. And we expect another one this year. That would be Saturday, June 21st, at 2130 to 2200 UT. The three frequencies last year via three different sites were 5965 via UAE, 7350 via Ascension, probably best for them, and 9890 direct from the UK, which might be audible in North America. However, we're still awaiting confirmed details for this year's broadcast. We hope to have by next week's program. That's Saturday, 2130 UT on June 21st. Rod Howard in California says, Vintage FM's relay on 3210 near Sydney, Australia, continues with decent reception at his local sunrise around 12:30 to 13 UT. It's heard June 6th and 7th. They were playing ballads and rock and roll songs. As mentioned last week, Radio Pio 12 Bolivia on a split frequency is still audible in North America despite WRMI less than 2.5 kilohertz away. That is 5952.4. Now we see a report from Tim Bryell in Malaysia on his blog that he was able to pull it in way over there at 10:50 to 11:15 UT on June 4th. And there's a clip at shortwavedxer.blogspot.com. A much more elusive Bolivian in North America is Red Patria Nueva, largely because of the Cuban radio war on 6030, since it's on 6025. But we do have reports of it from Europe. Thomas Nielsen in Sweden, in Shortwave Bulletin, says it's actually 30 hertz below 6025, heard May 26th at 2356, with a very good signal. And on May 30th, it signed off at 0357. On June 3rd, it was still on the air at 0400 with good strength. Arne Nielsen, also in Sweden but further north, was hearing it June 5th at 0200 and says it's been strong for some time with interference on the low side. And in Hardcore DX, Moritz van Driessche in Belgium reports Red Patria Nueva, La Paz, not bad. 40 hertz below 6025, June 5th at midnight 26. That's in Hardcore DX. In Oklahoma, I've been hearing Radio Fides slightly above 6155 since it's reactivated at various times from before 0100 UT until before 0200 on June 5th, 7th, and 8th, although it seemed to be missing on the 6th, and best heard on June 11th around 0150 when they had some promotion mentioning Fides. Look for a station considerably on the low side of 6105. It could be Radio Cultura Philadelphia in Brazil. The frequency drifts around, says Thomas Nielsen in Sweden, Shortwave Bulletin. June 4th at 2125, it was on 6104.68, while June 3rd, until closed down at 2308, it was on 6104.71. However, China blocks the frequency after 2301. Well, it's really too early for it to be heard in this part of North America. Radio Brasil Central in Goiânia is normally blocked on its 60-meter channel 4985 by heavy radio teletype. Bob Wilkner and I are wondering just where is that coming from. It can't be very far from us. However, I'm glad to find that they have reactivated their 25-meter channel. Radio Brasil Central, I heard June 6th around 01 UT, about 40 hertz above 11.815. And also on June 7th at 01.22. On 11.915, very close to on frequency, I heard Radio Gaúcha in Porto Alegre, Brazil, June 8th at midnight 56. Music with a tango beat, but the lyrics in Brazuguese, since they're too close to Argentina. They also had a time signal about 3.5 seconds late at top of the hour, followed by news. I hear that there is some silly ballgame tournament in Brazil lasting about a month. Should you care to listen to it on shortwave, Daniel Williams in Mato Grosso says certain shortwave stations have been authorized to carry the games. They are Radio Nacional da Amazonia, 6180 and 11780, Radio Gaúcha, I just mentioned, on 11915, Radio Bandeirantes on 6090, 9645, and 11925, all of which are slightly off-frequency, Radio Itatiaia on 5970, which we can hear poorly in the evenings, Radio Clube do Pará on 4885, which has one of the best signals on 60 meters, and Radio Meteorologia Paulista on 4845. Radio Bulgaria abandoned shortwave, but Alan Rowe reminds us that they're still producing programming in English for webcast. Furthermore, they have a new series celebrating 80 years of broadcasting. It's called Bulgarian National Radio, 80 Years in 80 Weeks. The first episode aired June 4th. And that should add up to 8 hours if each one of them is 6 minutes long, but it'll take a long time to hear them all. www.bnr.bg/en. We really should have mentioned last week the 25th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square uprising, and a very brave broadcaster heard around the world on Radio Beijing. That clip has been preserved. You can probably find it if you search, but the Michigan enthusiasts have it on their YouTube channel, and there's a link to it in the new DX Listening Digest, number 14-24, when published, via worldofradio.com. We continue to hear Radio Havana, Cuba, on two additional frequencies, 15400 and 15310, when both their high-power transmitters on 15340 and 15370 are on the air, between 13 and 15 UT. I call them leapfrog mixing products because they're easier to visualize and compute that way. But actually, the proper term is intermodulation. And we now have detailed explanations from two experts of exactly how this happens. One of them is from Ben Dawson of the consulting engineering firm Hatfield Dawson. This is what he says. With very few exceptions, HF high-power transmitters employ Class C vacuum tube amplifiers, high-level plate modulated. A Class C amplifier is quite efficient as a result of the pulse-type waveform it generates, which is then modified by the amplifier's output tuning network to produce a sine wave. The actual current conditions in the amplifier tube are not linear, and there is a great deal of harmonic energy in the tube's output. Although some very old MF transmitters used push-pull output stages, which do reduce the second and other even-numbered harmonic components, that's very rare in modern transmitters, even with multiple tube output stages, because it takes a few more components. Because HF transmitters are not single frequency, they have output tuning stages, which don't necessarily have the relatively high Q, narrow band characteristics of single frequency ones. Solid state MF transmitters also tend to have wider bandwidth output coupling stages, and often require more filtering to keep the intermodulation down below government and ITU specs than older vacuum tube ones. Coupling between antennas or between the open wire transmission lines in multiple transmitter installations can cause considerable unwanted energy from other transmitters to appear in a given transmitter's output stages and not be discriminated against by those output tuning networks if the unwanted station is close in frequency. And the nonlinear characteristics of the Class C amplifier sees this as just more modulation, It generates the different signal that is twice its own carrier minus, or sometimes plus, the unwanted one. And depending upon the individual characteristics of the particular transmitter, those output networks do not discriminate against this signal, which is close in frequency to the desired one. In installations with single frequency transmitters, MF stations, FM, land mobile, two-way, and cell phone, elaborate measures are often taken to get the unwanted signal down below FCC or ITU specs. And the ITU has multiple specifications, so each national government can pick the ones they want to use, if they even care. But HF transmitting sites make so many frequency changes that it's much more difficult to keep this problem under control than for single frequency transmitter use. Thanks to Ben Dawson for that explanation. The other one comes from Dan Elier of WYFR. It's also in the new DX Listening Digest. He goes into more detail, and I must say that WYFR has this problem licked. I've seldom, if ever, heard leapfrogs among now WRMI transmitters. In Baxter, the Shortwave Sites Group forwards a story from Thraki Today in Greek, which is roughly translated and summarized as follows. Unknown radiotoxic time bomb at former VOA Kavala site. Echo bomb ready to explode in Xanthi, X-A-N-T-H-I. 20 tons of toxic clofen at the Voice of America. The substance is spelled here C-L-O-P-H-E-N, but we think they're referring to what we generally call PCBs, which is found especially in transformers and transmitters. A huge amount of it is in this radio installation, which has been abandoned. No other building in the country has so much banned toxic clofen, the story says. The facility is not protected, and there have been thefts and vandalism in the area. This is located a stone's throw from the banks of the river Nestos in the coastal area of the municipality Dopeiru. And the reports that clofen has started to leak from the machinery. It's carcinogenic to humans and dangerous for the environment, can completely disrupt the ecosystem and remain active for hundreds of years. From Guam, but filed under Japan NAN, this from the KTWRDRMblogspot.com, dated April 18th. There's a regular Japanese DRM broadcast after years of working on getting ready for it. We are now doing regular DRM broadcast to Japan Sundays at 10:57 to 11:56 UT on 12120. They are being eagerly received across the country. Many listeners use software-defined radios. Most of the early listeners have been shortwave radio enthusiasts. Japan seems to have more shortwave hobbyists per capita than any other country on the planet. They are the ones who encouraged us to start these broadcasts. Ron Howard, California, notes that Shokaze, or Sea Breeze, the broadcast from Japan about North Korean abductions, has made another of its sudden frequency changes as of June 5th. It's on 6020, replacing 6135 for the 1330 to 1430 broadcast. However, it now collides during the first half hour with China's Mongolian service, still with English on Thursdays. And Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria says their other broadcast at 16:17 UT has also moved from 6090 to 6165. However, it collides with CRI in Turkish during the entire hour, or rather except for the last 3 minutes. With Sea Breeze off 6135, now there's less interference to yet another clandestine from South to North Korea, Voice of Freedom, the new one, being monitored by Ron Howard in California, including an English lesson around 13 UT. But he hears it as early as 11:35 or even 10:10 UT on June 11th without any white noise jamming.
This is Glenn Hauser's World of Radio.
Thanks to Cool AM Radio for that jingle. This is number 1725. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from David Cole in Goodwell, Oklahoma. One may send a check or money order in the mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Or not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. From the Federal District, Julian Santiago Diaz de Bonilla updates us on the status of the two Mexico City shortwave stations as of June 10th. I have occasionally heard a barely audible carrier on 6185 during the afternoons here in full daytime, and I was wondering if it's really XEPPM. He says, yes, he does hear it during the day, but the modulation is not adequate. And what about XEOI on 6010? I haven't seen any reports of it lately, and he confirms it's been off the air for a few months since some tubes broke in the transmitter and they've not been able to get replacements. We continue to enjoy here in Oklahoma a lot of Mexican TVDX during the height of the sporadic E-season on the lower channels up to Channel 6. One of the best openings was the afternoon of June 11th, delaying the recording, in fact, of this week's World of Radio. I was getting TV up to Channel 6, and the MUF extended up halfway into the FM band, 98 megahertz, from stations in Chihuahua, which are much easier to identify than TV. Ben Dawson in Washington State says he was impressed by the quality of the DRM transmission from Radio New Zealand International. Using a Neustar DR-111, he says, I got a very solid DRM signal from 0330 to 0406 UT on 17675, their Tradewinds program, and a newscast at the top of the hour. A few brief dropouts in the newscast, but otherwise a very solid and high-quality audio, particularly with a good headset, receiver with its whip antenna only. Another benefit of thorough band scanning was finding station YHWH on yet another new frequency, but it may never repeat, 12.035 a.m., June 10th at 13.14 UT, past 13.29, the usual rant about the one world government leading to the leveling of Israel. A fair signal and 100% copy, if one cared to. It always has punchy audio processing, which a lot of legit shortwave stations lack. I continue to enjoy tracking the ever-lightening chop-off time of Radio Chasqui, Urubamba, Peru, on 5980. They obviously have an automatic timer, but it slips about 5.5 seconds later from one night to the next, and I check it a few times each week. It seems they've totally forgotten to reset the timer. In previous cycles, they would jump back to about 0100 after it reached 01 or 05 or so. But as of June 11th, it was still on the air until 10 seconds before 0114. At this rate, it should reach 0115 by about June 23rd. By the way, it's very slightly on the high side of 5980 and not the low side. A Peruvian which eludes me, probably because I don't listen at the best time, is Radio Tawantinsuyo in Cusco. It's on the off frequency of 6173.9, makes it to Europe anyway. In shortwave bulletin, Christoph Ratzer in Austria, originally in ADX, reports hearing it May 29th at 0115. He says the frequency is open starting at midnight UT, but the signal is better after 0100. They play folk music from the heights of the Andes. What more could one want? Also heard by Thomas Nielsen in Sweden May 30th at midnight 1 UT, an ID 2 minutes earlier, totally undisturbed on 6173.89. Listening in our mornings, Robert Wilkner in South Florida did hear it on 6173.9. June 2nd at 0955 to 1010 UT in Spanish. He needed a narrow filter and USB tuning. Following last week's tip from Craig Seeger in Australia about Solomon Islands being active on 9545 but on a reduced schedule, Ron Howard in California did hear it June 6th, It was only a Carrier at 0400, but improving at 445 with some Pacific Island pop songs, and cut off the air at 0501, just as had been reported. Too bad they're no longer running it another 7 hours, when that would make a world of difference in reception. That is presumably when they are switching to their other frequency, 5020 minus. It goes off about 11:59. I heard it cutting off at 11:58:58 on June 11th. I also managed to hear the 9545 carrier cutting off the air at 4.5 seconds past 0501 UT, June 8th. And that's the extent of Mighty X from Solomon Islands. A press release from BBG via Hans-Jörg Biener has U.S. International Media Networks, now calling themselves USIM, congratulating themselves on doubling their audience in Ukraine in the Sesqui year from October 2012 to April 2014. Each week, 1 in 5 adults in Ukraine, including Crimea, turn to USIM networks for news across Ukrainian and Russian language platforms, increased from 9.8% in October of 2012. And this, of course, no longer includes shortwave on VOA or RFERL. Ed Gardner in Sacktown, California, sends a story from BBC News about itself of June 10th. 65 jobs to go in BBC Radio. About 15% of jobs in BBC Radio will be closed between 2012 and 2017. 65 jobs are cut in the radio division. The move is part of an 800 megapound cost-cutting measure required by the BBC Savings Program, DQF, which means delivering quality first. About 200 jobs, or 15% of all radio employees, will be lost from 2012 to 2017. BBC Radio will be restructured into 2 speech and pop music hubs. Currently, each radio station is run separately. Jerry Linneman of 94.5 in Waco, Texas, is a World of Radio contributor who attended the NASB meeting at VOA Greenville in May, and here's some of his initial report. As part of the meeting, the attendees were given a first-class tour of the site. It was fun, with informative seminars, discussions, and slideshows. We got to meet people that do this for a living, our fondest dream. Currently, Greenville broadcasts using 5 different transmitters. Any can be routed to any of the antennas through a massive switch matrix covering about 12,000 square feet. It's designed to handle as many as 11 transmitter inputs with 39 antenna outputs. One transmission line feeds 2 adjacent antennas via a remotely operated switch. Using GE and Bing, I've examined the 2,700-acre antenna field. I count 40 separate shortwave antennas, 20 rhombics, 16 curtains, 2 log periodics, 1 tuned dipole with a tuned reflector, and 1 dipole without a reflector. 18 different azimuths are covered. 1 terminated rhombic apparently is reversible. Shortly after recording last week's World of Radio, mentioning that we would be on a new frequency from WRMI 5015, UT Sundays at midnight 30, they reverted to the previous frequency, so we're still on 9495 for that broadcast. They also turned 5015 into a third 24-hour frequency for the Overcomer Ministry and expanded his hours on 7730. That is until 0600. However, on June 7th, they were playing some much more enjoyable music during the final hour. Rick Morrison of KHOI Community Radio in Ames, Iowa, tells us that the Grassroots Radio Conference will be held in Ames August 14th through 17th. If you're interested in attending to be more informed and aware of community radio, read more about it at www.pacificanetwork.org/grc/. In Shortwave Bulletin, Arne Nielsen in Sweden thanks Henrik Klemets for identifying a tentative reception on 6076.54 as CXA3 La Voz de Artigas in Uruguay. This was June 2nd at 0220. Actually got some audio from this week's signal, but interference spoiled it at 0259 and not heard since. It was, however, apparently heard on that same occasion a little later at 0356 by Thomas Nielsen in Sweden. Henrik Clements explains that contrary to what you might think, these stations from southern South America and also Africa tend to come in better around the summer solstice if you're far enough north in Sweden, but not too far north, between 02 and 03 UT. Ron Howard in California says about Radio Vanuatu 3945, it's Saturday, June 7th, so RN2 in Japan signs off early at 0900, and it's possible to catch Vanuatu's sign-off at 1216 UT, just after their instrumental national anthem called Yumi Yumi Yumi. Poor reception, but the best heard in a long time on this frequency. On June 8th, Wolfgang Büschel in Germany was hearing the Voice of Vietnam Home Service, VR1, not only on 5975, but also on exactly 5983, 2 kilohertz away from Myanmar on 5985. That was at 1125 UT. At first he thought they may have moved a second transmitter only a few kilohertz away from the original one, but then decided it's actually a spur coming out of 5975 on 5983, especially since it's matched by another one 8 kilohertz away on the other side, 5967, as heard by 1204 UT. Ron Howard in California, in fact, had been hearing this weak carrier since March on 5983, but finally with some decent audio on June 8th. He too found it parallel to 5975, 7210, 7435.57, and 9635. He says the spur was almost as strong as 5975. He didn't think to check 5967 on that date, but he did on June 9th and heard it there as well. In WTFDA, Rich McVicker in New York wonders if he was hearing Channel 3 in Venezuela, since it puts out a siren sound. That's probably because its video carrier is out of order and the frequency is constantly varying up and down. Listen out for that if you're possibly getting ESKIP from Venezuela. Bill Hepburn says it's Channel 3 of Televen in Coro, Venezuela. June 11th at 0136 to 142 UT on 17432 USB, I was hearing a coded message of 30 characters delivered by probably a human YL, giving the ID as Kilo Zero Yankee. I understand it was a STRATCOM exercise, probably from a U.S. Navy station. A tip for rational living, check out an article in Salon.com by Sarah Gray, G-R-A-Y, 5 Most Important Lessons from Cosmos, which just came to an end on Fox Television. It's also at alternet.org. The propagation outlook from Mulder, ANK indices no higher than 8 and 3. Solar flux peaking at 165 June 11th and dropping to 110 by June 24th and 25th. And that's World of Radio number 1725. Glenn Hauser inviting you back next week.